This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4025 for Friday, the 5th of January, 2024. Today's show is entitled Testing V Language. It is part of the series Languages. It is hosted by Celeste and is about 17 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is I tried V, a new experimental programming language. Today's show is licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial license.
Hello everyone and welcome to this new episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today we will dive into an experimental and new programming language called the V programming language. It has been created by a guy from Netherlands, Alexander Medvednikov. And it's still experimental, but the foundations are really cool. And I want to explain, I tried it for some days, what I think it's heading in a great direction and which parts instead are heading to a bad direction. And I fear some of them. So let's start with the great benefits. Strong static typing. It's not a functional language. It's not a really low level language. It feels either. It feels like Go. It's quite similar, really similar for the syntax, but it has very, very strong static typing. Very strong. And that's good. It has, it borrows some of the concepts of some types, which means you can and pattern matching, which is one of the great features of Rust that have been borrowed by other research level languages and put into a more usable production ready language. And V language is also taking this, so you have option and result types for to mark functions and return types and values that can be either empty or can contain something or can some other stuff like file access, which can have input output errors. So you have to make sure you handle the error state. If something went wrong, you have to tell the program what to do every time. This is something that gets really overlooked in C and in many other languages. The function says, hey, if this function returns -1 or a specific value, it means that there was an error and make sure to check the return code. But it's so verbose that no one checks every return code. And it's really easy, even if you want to try to check every return code, it's really easy to forget about some of them. Instead, by having the result type, it means that if you want to use the value that was returned by the function, for example, on file read access, you have to tell the compiler what to do if there was an error. If it's okay, you can use the value, but you have to tell explicitly what to do if there is an error. And maybe the solution is to crash, but you have to tell the compiler, if there is an error here, crash. If you don't tell the compiler, it won't compile, and that's really great. And so it takes many parts from the a good type system and heavily inspired from the Rust type system. And so I really like that part. But with an additional benefit, it has automatic memory management. That's really, really great for many tasks. Not for low level stuff. For low level stuff, obviously you want finer, greater control over memory. But sometimes you really want automatic memory management. And that's something you usually get from higher level languages like Python or Java. But they run in an interpreter or in a Java on the Java virtual machine. We are either very great, very big program just to run your code. You cannot just have a simple executable like you would produce in C and run it and have automatic memory management on that instead. And that's something V achieves. That's really useful. You get a really small compiled binary because the compiler intermediately uses C. It turns V code to C code and then compiles the C code. So you get a really small executable. You get for free all the platform support that C compilers have had since C exists. You get all of that for free. And plus, as I said, you get memory management, memory allocation, which is really great for some tasks. For example, Rust solves that by using the borrow checker and the move semantics. A way of keeping track that only one variable at a time is responsible to be the owner of some value, and it is responsible to clean it. And in order to do that, Rust compiler is a lot stricter in what you can do and what you cannot do. What memory can you access and what you can't. If the Rust compiler can make sure that a call you're doing to a variable is valid and it's leading to a correct memory address, it won't compile. So yeah, you have to fight the borrow checker and fight the compiler many times, depending on what you're doing. One of the fields where you feel the problems of the Rust approach the most is user interfaces. If you're rebuilding a graphical user interface, it's hard in Rust because you have many interconnected parts that need to share some variables. So you have a part with event listeners, a part with the components you want to draw, and then event listeners attached to the components, to the button, for example, so that it activates when you click on it. And then the event listener in turn should call and modify other variables, but the scope of the event listener is different from the scope of the component it has been declared into. It can leave more, it can leave less. The variables it's using also can leave more or less than its lifetime. It's really a hard problem if you don't have a garbage collector. It's really a hard problem. So for graphical user interfaces, a garbage collector is really useful. And I like that V has both strong static typing, both garbage collection, and both it produces a very small binary by going through C. It's really useful. I haven't found anything similar so far. The most similar one is Scala, but it needs the Java Virtual Machine, which is an elephant for its size, and I don't want that. Now I will talk about the last advantage of the V language that I liked, and then we will go into the disadvantages and problems of it. So, another cool thing, compile time reflection. Reflection means being able to declare a struct and then being able to iterate over the struct field and types. So you can iterate in your code and say, hey, if this for each field of the struct, if the field type is an integer, then inject this code. If the field type is a string, inject this code instead. And in some languages, like Go, for example, you can access that data at runtime. But here you can access it at compile time. So the only code that gets generated is the code that matches those for cycle and if conditions of types and field names you wrote. So for example, if you want to parse a query string and you want to parse the query string into a struct, you need to know and inject into your code what are the types of the struct fields, so that you can convert each value from the query string, which will be a string value, to the correct type in the field, in each field. To do that, you can write a specialized code for each struct. So for each struct, you manually write the parsing. That's one approach. But in V, you can make a generic function that works on every struct type. And at compile time, it takes the type, it looks at what the struct fields are and what are their types. And it generates the code for each field to parse the query string. You can make that. It feels a lot like Rust macros, Rust derived macros. You can achieve something similar. But Rust derived macros are both more powerful, but also very, very, very hard to write. I tried to write one for a project, and it was really, really a hard time. But while compile time reflection, as in V, suits most cases without problems. So let's go to the bad part, the dark part. First, it's still in beta version. It's a language from 2019, and it's at the 0.4 version, and still a long time to reach a stable version. Things may change, things are partially broken. The compiler works decently, but I found some compiler bugs here and there. But works overall. Okay. Certainly you don't want to build anything for production now using V. Second problem is that it wants to be really, really clean, but they are adding too many features. They are adding database object relational mapping into the language. Really cool, but maybe too much. They are adding functionality to write GPU shaders in V language. Yeah, cool, but yeah, maybe too much. I would really prefer if they stabilize the strong core points of the V language that I highlighted, and refine them instead of adding too many features and complicating the language before adding more stuff. Instead of adding more stuff, it's better to refine the core. Overall, it has been a really cool experience. I don't get usually excited for new programming languages. I want to use one or two programming languages that work and then are reliable and solid. But yeah, it seems like a good combination of ideas. Good static typing, small size binary, and compiling to an actual executable, no Java virtual machine, and at the same time, immutability by default, pattern matching, result types, compile time reflection, and garbage collection, all of at the same time. I'm really interested in seeing how it goes and what it will reach. I noticed now that you can also donate to the author if you want, and but first I would encourage you to try it and let me know in the comments how it felt. Was it interesting? Was it functional? Did you prefer some other types of programming languages, or and why? Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.